Welcome into the Rookie Big Board Podcast. I'm your host, Matt Hicks, the FF Educator. On this episode, I am going to be breaking down my 2022 projections for the rookie running back class. I am excited to dig into it. 19 rookie running backs popped up on the projections model. We'll obviously spend some time here on the guys that get flagged in the top 48, but I'm really excited to dig deep into the class as well, because I think there's a little bit more value down board than folks have necessarily been suggesting. Before we do that, two things. I want to make sure folks know that they can get premium content, including the Dynasty, Indevi, and soon the 2023 Rookie Big Board, the Consensus Rookie Big Board Analyst Dynasty and Devi Rankings, access to our active Discord channel, personalized advice, and more. All of that is available for just $3 a month at patreon.com/theffeducator. Also want to make sure folks know about the Devi Summit. That is coming up this Sunday, May 22nd, from 12 to 6 p.m. Eastern Time. The Rookie Big Board is proud to serve as a co-host for, I am not exaggerating, the biggest Devi event of the year. Folks, we have all of the big Devi names out there. Whether you are an experienced Devi player, brand new Devi player, interested in taking a deeper dive into Campus Decanton, you do not want to miss this event. I am so fired up for it, and I am so fired up here to jump into my 2022 rookie running back projections here. And we are going to start with, as you probably guessed here, Breece Hall. Yes, folks know that Kenneth Walker is still the running back one on the rookie big board, but at this point in the season, and we talk about this a lot, projections are something that has to progress over time, right? We build out projections based on what we can reasonably project, right? Confidently project. And at this point in the offseason, it's easier to confidently project a clean role for Breece Hall. Now, that doesn't mean in 2 or 3 months that Kenneth Walker might not have a higher projection for me, but right now Breece Hall just ekes out Kenneth Walker. If you look at where I have Breece Hall here on the projection sheet, I think what's going to be really key here, and the thing we're going to have to wait and see, is what is Michael Carter's level of involvement in this offense. I'm not willing to sit here and tell you that I think that Michael Carter will not be involved in this Jets offense. I very much think he will be. You know, currently I have Breece Hall at 52% of the market share. It's 208 rushing attempts. I'm basing that off of here 400 rushing attempts, which is 20 more than last season. I actually think the Jets are going to prioritize the pass over the run, but I think their offense in general is going to be more efficient, which means they're going to have more snaps on the field, right? The key here is, what does Breece Hall do through the air? I am at 61 targets. That's 10% of the market share. I got to be honest, that feels generous. I think 10% of the market share, 61 targets, is probably capping out what Breece Hall will do, because I do think Michael Carter will be involved. I have Carter at 120 rushing attempts. I'm at 36 targets. I wouldn't be shocked if those targets kind of flip-flop. If Michael Carter sees closer to 50 targets, Breece Hall sees closer to 50 targets. So then, of course, the big question with the Jets offense, specifically with the running game here, is Breece Hall going to get the touches in the red zone? Right now, I am at 9 rushing touchdowns here, and I feel that that is a pretty bullish projection for him. I wouldn't be shocked if that number is closer to 6 or even 5. And if that is the case, then he's going to drop, you know, fairly far in the rookie ranks. But right now, as I project him here, I should say he's going to fall in the running back ranks, not necessarily the rookie ranks. But right here where I have him today is running back 13. He's sitting there right below Joe Mixon. He's sitting just above Javonte Williams, just above Nick Chubb. You know, he's sitting there as a borderline running back one. Now, one of the things that I want to put into context here for folks, and I've been trying to consistently do this, is that although Breece Hall is the running back one for most folks in this class, I want to point out that last year I was confidently projecting Najee Harris to be a top 5 seasonal running back. So I just want to put it in context here. Just because Breece Hall is a relatively consensus running back one in this class for most folks, that does not mean that he is going to have a Najee Harris type season. It is not as good of a landing spot. And Breece Hall, for me, did not grade out, frankly, even close to what I graded out Najee Harris. So I think low-end running back one, high-end running back two really is the ideal situation for Breece Hall. So like I said, I think it's a little bit easier to project an ideal situation for Breece Hall. I have Kenneth Walker not far behind. Kenneth Walker, for me, in my seasonal projections, is coming in as running back 18. I feel like most folks probably have him closer to running back 24 to 28 range. I think that's really slighting him here. So running back 18, just for context, sandwiches him right now right in between J.K. Dobbins at running back 17 and Josh Jacobs at running back 19. Now, obviously, the key here is how much of this market share is Kenneth Walker going to dominate? I have him at 225 rushing attempts. For me, at 4.5 yards per clip, he's going to exceed 1,000 rushing yards. All right, I have him at 10 rushing touchdowns, which is a pretty bullish projection. And here it is, folks. All of that is happening with just 38 targets, all right? I'm being conservative with his targets here. I think he can go double-digit touchdowns overall here, and that is 50% of the Seattle market share, all right? If you look at what Seattle did last year, they threw the ball 495 times, and they ran the ball 413 times. I think with Drew Lock coming in here, a clear investment in the running game, they used a high second-round selection on Kenneth Walker. They drafted two offensive tackles here. They made that a priority with their draft picks. They're going to want to run the ball. So Ivan bumped up to 450 rushing attempts. That's 37 more than last year. I really think that's going to be the emphasis and the onus. It's going to be establishing the run whether you like it or not. So the question now is, where does this leave Rashad Penny? Where does this leave Chris Carson? Quite frankly, folks, until we see more of Chris Carson, and it hurts me too because Chris Carson has helped me a lot in my fantasy rosters, I think he's a non-factor. I'm just plugging him in here for sub 20% of the rushing market on this offense. I really think that Kenneth Walker is here to replace Chris Carson. We're talking about a player that the Seattle Seahawks have never invested highly in, a round 7 selection, and who struggled to stay on the field and stay healthy. And I don't like it any more than you do, but I think that's an honest assessment of where the Seattle Seahawks are on Chris Carson. The question then is, you know, is the sudden establishment of Rashad Penny as the running back one in the Seattle offense valid? And no, I don't think it is, right? Because Penny has also struggled to see a significant volume to carry that workload. So I'm at 135 attempts, 30% of the rushing share. I've met 3 touchdowns. I'm at 28 targets. You know, for me, that is a really fair projection for Rashad Penny. And for me, you know, Kenneth Walker, this is kind of the floor. And I think Kenneth Walker has the ability to walk this projection up as we go, specifically in the passing game, right? Can we get Kenny Walker over 50, over 55 targets? I'm being conservative here for now, because I think that's what we have to do till we understand this passing attack specifically better and exactly what the offense is going to want to do. Hopefully we get a little bit of glimpse of that, you know, through the preseason. Now, you know, obviously folks are interested in Breece Hall versus Kenneth Walker, but I don't think that's the end of the debate, right? Certainly not for guys who can be impact players this year. And I have 3 names that are going to pop up here as low-end running back twos, high-end running back threes. Or I'm sorry, these guys are actually all mid running back threes. All right, so mid running back threes here. It's going to start with James Cook to Buffalo. He's currently popping in right at running back 28. So to put that again in context, Travis Etienne is running back 27. Y'all remember Travis Etienne, right? You know, he's still there. And I think he's a really valuable pickup right now. James Cook, I have him at 10.7 points per game. Now, certainly, folks seem to be really divided about James Cook and how he does or does not fit into this Buffalo offense. You know, for me, I'm plugging him into 135 rushing attempts. Devin Singletary in this projection has 157 rushing attempts. So I am leaving Devin Singletary as the, quote, lead running back, but it's a slight lead running back situation, which, folks, I'm not doing anything creative. I'm not thinking outside of the box. I'm just plugging James Cook's touches into what they wanted from Zach Moss. Zach Moss and Devin Singletary were always kind of hand in hand in terms of their rushing attempts in this offense, right? I do think James Cook can be slightly more efficient than Devin Singletary. I'm at 5 yards per rush at 135 rushing attempts, and I think James Cook could find the end zone 4 times on the ground. So now, here's where James Cook is going to separate his fantasy value, become an impact player or not, right? I have James Cook at 52 targets catching 73% of those, 284 yards, and 4 receiving touchdowns. Now, if he can be that threat in the passing game, if he could find the end zone 8 times combined, then James Cook is going to live in that running back 2-3 territory, not only as a rookie, but through his career, right? And he's suddenly going to be viewed as a lot more valuable of a rusher. Last year, Buffalo ran the ball 461 times. I projected him for 450. This was an offense that saw the field a ton, so I actually tweaked down both their passing attempts and rushing attempts, despite the fact that I do expect them to be a really good offense this year. I can't emphasize enough when looking at this Buffalo offense how much they like to throw the ball. And I think that's really important because I would be shocked if Buffalo does not get creative with the way that they use James Cook. I would not be surprised to see him moved into the slot, you know, split out even at times. I could see them really feeding him as a check down option in the screen game. They've never had a running back that can really be a dynamic addition to the passing game. And where Buffalo took James Cook, they told me that they were prioritizing his skill set, and his skill set is catching the ball. I think they are going to use him heavily in the passing game, and I think it's going to benefit for fantasy football. Now, this one might shock you a little bit. The next guy I have up here is Zamir White, and he's going to project in here as running back 31, just behind Melvin Gordon at running back 30. Just above another rookie that we'll talk about here in a second, so I won't spoil it quite yet. But this is probably a more bullish projection on Zamir White than you're going to hear, I think, in general consensus. I'm at 147 rushing attempts. I have him at 5 touchdowns. You know, I do still have Josh Jacobs with the majority of the rushing market at 45% of the rushing market. I do still have Josh Jacobs with 10 rushing touchdowns, but I think they're going to want to run the ball a lot. You know, they ran the ball 414 times last year. I wouldn't be shocked to see them increase that number, if not significantly. And I think Zamir White is a guy who can be hyper-efficient with the ball in his hands. I'm at 5 yards per attempt. I'm at 35% of the market share. I really think that they're going to make it a priority to see Zamir White in action. Now, he might be a frustrating fantasy football guy because I could see White having some really big weeks and then some weeks where they just don't need to use him as much, right? Say they get game scripted out of it, right? So that's going to be the challenge with Zamir White, and that's going to be the overall challenge with the Las Vegas offense, right? Can they keep themselves in a position where the game script doesn't take them away from the running game? Because I think they want to use Josh Jacobs. I think they want to use Zamir White. I know they added Davante Adams. I know that they love Hunter Renfrow. I know that they have Darren Waller, and they certainly are happy with Derek Carr there, and they're going to throw the ball a lot. They threw the ball 628 times last year, but I think in an ideal world, they're running the ball more and they're passing the ball less, right? It's a little bit too top-heavy because they were playing from behind a lot last year. All right, we're going to jump here to the player who, last player that's going to register here as a top 36 running back, and it's not maybe somebody you would have expected here. I'm going to go with Rashad White. I'm really excited for the role that Rashad White is going to play in this Tampa Bay offense, and I think folks are kind of sleeping on it. So maybe I'm overestimating his role, or maybe other folks just haven't, you know, seen him in that same way. I do think playoff Lenny here, regular season Lenny, is going to lead the way on the ground. I'm not suggesting that. I have Fournette at 50% of the rushing share on the ground. I have Rashad White at 28% of the rushing share. So that's Leonard Fournette with 192 attempts. That's Rashad White with 107 attempts. I have Rashad White 431 rushing yards. I'm at 4 rushing touchdowns. Here is going to be the key. Can Rashad White get 54 targets? I've been projected for 54 targets. He showed the ability to have excellent handwork. He showed the ability to be a primary target on an offense at Arizona State. Now, I'm not saying he has to be a primary target on the offense, but look around here. All right, you have Mike Evans. Yes, fantastic. Great. Chris Godwin, he's going to miss a huge chunk of the beginning of the season. Rob Gronkowski may or may not be back. So you could easily head into week one here of Tom Brady looking around and saying, do I throw to Mike Evans or do I throw to Russell Gage or Tyler Johnson, right? Or Cameron Brate or maybe Kate Otten. And I like Kate Otten. We'll talk about him if we get to tight end projections, right? But Tom Brady, we've seen this in the past. You know, I think Rashad White can be a beefier version of James White. And so if you're Tom Brady and you're looking at the field and you're just seeing Mike Evans there, and guess what, folks? Mike Evans is a very good wide receiver. The NFL understands that. They're going to be double coverage him, or double, they're going to have double coverage on him, double coveraging, not a word, right? And I think that Tom Brady, if Rashad White is out there on second down, on third down, is going to be very inclined to dump the ball off to Rashad White and let him work with it. So I wouldn't be shocked if he ends up with more than 54 targets. I wouldn't be shocked if he ends up with more than 2 receiving touchdowns, right? And Rashad White, I'm profiling him, folks who might not be as familiar as his pass catching back, but I got to tell you, folks, if Fournette ends up missing time for whatever reason, he can absolutely get it done on the ground as well. So Rashad White, I think, is this sneaky, sneaky upside player, which for a lot of folks are still sleeping on. And, you know, I to an extent, I get it, right? There's this kind of mantra that he's this, you know, leftover, you know, next tier running back, and you have to reach for him. But I got to tell you, folks, I've been getting a lot of Rashad White. I'm excited about it because I'm excited about his specific fit and how his skill set specifically fits in not only to what Tampa Bay wants to do, but what Tom Brady wants to do. And folks, if you match up well, if you mesh up well with what Tom Brady wants to do, I want you on my fantasy football team. It's a simple rule, but it's gotten me fairly far when it comes to fantasy football. Now, a guy that I feel bad leaving out of this top 36 conversation is Brian Robinson Jr., of Washington. You know, he fits in right now just behind Kenny Gainwell, just ahead of Tony Pollard. You know, I have a fairly high evaluation of Kenny Gainwell, so that's not a bad spot to be in. I really like Brian Robinson. I just think that Washington is going to take it slow when it comes to letting Brian Robinson be the lead back. And I do think they're going to get there. But I don't think Antonio Gibson is useless. I don't think he goes away overnight, right? And so I do still have Antonio Gibson leading the backfield with 40%, 190 rushing attempts. But I have Brian Robinson there at 30%, 142. I have him at 6 touchdowns, just like I have Antonio Gibson at 6 touchdowns. I have Brian Robinson only at 28 targets because I do think they're still going to want to use Antonio Gibson in the passing game. They still brought back J.D. McKissic for the passing game, right? And now they have more options to pass to in F1 in Jahan Dotson. And I know Washington is becoming more and more interested in Logan Thomas and John Bates and getting these tight ends involved, right? And so for me, I really like Brian Robinson. I think that you just have to be a little bit patient. You have to be willing to sit back on Brian Robinson. And maybe, you know, towards the end of the season, we start seeing more 12 touch games, 15 touch games, 18 touch games, right? As the season kind of wears on and they want to protect Antonio Gibson. But I think out of the gate here, it might be a slow burn on Brian Robinson. Now, the name a lot of folks are probably screaming at their respective listening devices here. If they've drafted him already, folks might be saying, why in the world has he not talked about Damian Pierce yet? Folks, I'm just not sold. I'm just not sold. And this is a perfect example of how I go into my projections. In May, I'm giving an honest look of where I see the offense, right? And as the offseason progresses, we watch what the team's actions tell us, not what the coaching staff tells us, not what Twitter tells us. We watch on how these players start to be utilized, how we can see them building out, what the beat reporters are telling us, right? The beat reporters that we trust are telling us about these players. Right now, today, you can plug Damian Pierce in to be the lead back of this offense, which I have, even though I am not somebody who thinks that Damian Pierce is automatically better than Marlon Mack. I just want to throw that out there. I think Marlon Mack is a good runner. I think he's been slept on because anytime he's gotten hot in his career, he's gotten injured, right? But even still, you plug in Damian Pierce as the lead back, 40%. Give Damian Pierce 40% of this market share. That's 170 rushing attempts. Right, last year they ran the ball 420 times. I know with Lovie Smith, it's run the ball. But I don't know if they have the offensive line to necessarily pound the rock in that way. Speaking of not having the offensive line, Damian Pierce is somebody for me who really struggled at Florida with vision. He struggled to create his own space. And I think that's something that folks aren't talking about. is that for somebody who to me, struggled with vision, struggled to create space, you put him behind a not good offensive line. Folks, that's not a recipe for efficiency, right? And so I have him at 4 yards per rush. I gave him 4 touchdowns because I think he can get touchdowns, but I also think Marlon Mack is going to be used. And I have him at 33 targets. I don't think he's going to be highly used in the passing game. You know, they have Dari there if they want to pass the ball to a running back, right? And so all of that leads to just 7.6 fantasy points per game, just 129 fantasy points. So if you want to draft Dameon Pierce in the mid to late second round of your fantasy drafts, it's still slightly higher than what the rookie big board evaluates him as, but that's fine. But if you're drafting Dameon Pierce in the back end of the first round of your fantasy football drafts, you know what? There's always a chance. You may hit. You may be right. You may roll back this audio and tell me that I looked like a fool. But the way that I do projections is I put down on paper what I can feel confident projecting. And at this point in time, in May, I can't confidently project that Dameon Pierce is going to be the dude in this offense, number one. And number two, I can't project that he's going to be efficient behind this offensive line. I think you need to be a really fantastic player, a really fantastic runner who sees the field very well to overcome a bad offensive line. And that's not who Dameon Pierce is. If you had put Dameon Pierce behind a top offensive line unit in the NFL, I would be more excited. I might be closer to this late first round, early second round evaluation a lot of folks have put on him. But I am not there yet on Dameon Pierce. Maybe I'll get there. I probably won't. But never say never, of course. Let's jump into some of these guys here. We're going to move a little bit quicker. But there are other running backs here that have popped up on the projection sheet that have popped up as relevant players, and some of us play in deeper leagues, some of us play in best ball leagues, some of us play in leagues with a lot of flex spots, and so I want to go through and dig a little bit deeper into this class. I like Tyler Allgeier for what he is. You know, I do think Atlanta is still going to lead here with Cordarrelle Patterson, but that doesn't mean Tyler Allgeier can't, you know, have an impact and have the ability to build up. So I have Allgeier here at 160 rushing attempts. I have him at 4 touchdowns, and I have him at just 26 targets. So he's coming in here at 7.3 fantasy points per game, which in deeper leagues, you know, makes him a solid flex option, especially if you're drafting him, what, round 3 or later? That's not a bad spot at all. I do have Isaiah Spiller having a somewhat impactful role, 7.1 fantasy points per game. I have him at 106 rushing attempts. I think that they could use him as the red zone guy. So that's really what's carrying this projection. I'm at 5 rushing touchdowns. Now that is a little aggressive for Isaiah Spiller, but I think that's what they're going to want him to do. And I would be excited about him in that role, even though I have him projected at just 25% of the market share. So somebody who may be more exciting for best ball, because you never know necessarily when those touchdowns are going to come, or in a game where you can expect the Chargers to control the game script. I think Tyler Beatty can be an impactful player. I have him at 6.9 fantasy points per game. 42 targets, that's going to be the key to receiving touchdowns. And I wouldn't be shocked if he sees 90 rushing attempts on the ground. I think Tyler Beatty is a really, really excellent fit in Baltimore NFL-wise. And sometimes that does, in fact, spill over for fantasy football. Now, Hassan Haskins is the running back 0 dream. We know that. Or 0 RB. I always say that backwards. He's the dream, right? But if Derrick Henry is healthy, I think there's still opportunity for him to have some level of impact. 7.1 fantasy points per game for me, 132 rushing attempts. And you might be saying to yourself, 132 rushing attempts? Matt, how many rushing attempts are you taking away from Derrick Henry? Folks, last year Derrick Henry had 70% of my projected market share. I dropped him all the way down to 68. All right, Derrick Henry is still the dude, 374 rushing attempts. We know he's going to dominate, but at 132 rushing attempts, right, and you have to factor in Hassan Haskins is probably rotating in when the defensive line is getting tired and beat up by Derrick Henry. He can be efficient. I'm at 5 yards per rush, and I think he could find the end zone 4 times. The Tennessee Titans are going to run the ball first this year. Second, they're going to run the ball. Third, they're going to run the ball. And then at some point, I also think they're going to run the ball, all right? That's going to be the philosophy there in Tennessee. Kyren Williams pops up next, Los Angeles Rams, and I know folks were starting to get a little bit deeper here in terms of who could potentially have an impact without injury, but it's worth pointing out here that Kyren Williams, 5.9 fantasy points per game, I think he really can slot in not behind Daryl Henderson, right? Kyren Williams is going to play that third down running back role in this offense. He's a great pass catcher. I've projected for 30 targets. I could see him going all the way up to 50 targets, but trying to be conservative and cap my love for Kyren Williams because that's one of the things I always try to do in projections too. I try to check myself on guys that I know I'm very excited about, but I very much think that he could have a role in this offense. Let's talk about the two New England running backs here. You have Pierre Strong and Kevin Harris. I have Pierre Strong with 22% of the market share, Kevin Harris with 10%. I just think Strong has a little bit more explosiveness to his game, and I think that's going to make him pop earlier in the season. I also, folks, I can't tell you really what separates Kevin Harris from Ramondre Stevenson. I struggle to do that, and so that's why I can eke out a little bit more for Pierre Strong. I have 3 touchdowns for Pierre Strong. I have 2 touchdowns for Kevin Harris. I don't love either of them for fantasy, just 5.7 points per game for Pierre Strong, 3.4 for Kevin Harris. Tyrion Davis Price, I don't know, man. I don't know what to tell you. I said this about, and I'm forgetting exactly which wide receiver. I think it was Wandale. Yeah, it was Wandale. It's like sometimes I'm just transparent and honest, and I don't know what the heck San Francisco wants to do with TDP. I understand drafting him based off draft capital, but they have Elijah Mitchell. They still have Trey Sermon. They have so many running backs. I know they want to run the ball a lot, but they need to let Trey Lance throw the ball this year too, right? So I don't know what they want to do with TDP. And when I don't know what they want to do, I'm going to be conservative in my projection. I have 100 rushing attempts. I have him at 2 rushing touchdowns. Not a lot of targets. I just don't see a high level of impact there for TDP. I think really sneaky guy to talk about here is Snoop Connor. Can't leave this episode without referencing the fact that I do think that they have a early season role for Snoop Connor. I'm at 61 rushing attempts, but if James Robinson struggles to come back from injury early or even midway through the season, I think those touches could jump for Snoop Connor. They could go up to 100, 120 even potentially. But I think what's sneaky about him, I have him, even if he only has 60 rushing attempts, I have him at 4 rushing touchdowns because I think that's the role they want him to play. And I mentioned Travis Etienne earlier, and that's what's holding me back from getting on the podium and screaming about Travis Etienne, because I do think they want Snoop Connor to be the end zone back because he's powerful, he's physical, and he did well at the goal line at Mississippi. So, again, just 4.2 fantasy points per game, more of a stash guy than anything else, but definitely worth mentioning. 3 more guys that I want to quickly reference here because they did pop up on the stat sheet, and you know that if nothing else at the rookie big board, we never back down from digging deep. Jerome Ford, I have him at just 60 rushing attempts. Now, that could be a huge jump if they do, in fact, move Kareem Hunt, as kind of the rumors have swirled and circled. I'm at 5 yards per rush, 2 rushing touchdowns here, not a lot of targets. So he's there. He pops up on the sheet. He's relevant, but he's not necessarily that relevant right away. Abram Smith in New Orleans, man, I can't shake this guy as a 5th-round draft pick. For a lot of folks, you can claim him on waivers after the draft. I think that he could easily slot in here behind Alvin Kamara, just as kind of originally a depth back, but somebody who ends up having more of a role, especially at the goal line. I could see him getting up there 70 touches by the end of the season, potentially finding the end zone a couple times. Again, a little bit buried on that depth chart, but eventually could complement Alvin Kamara well. And an undrafted free agent that I just can't shake the idea that he could be impactful, and it's Jashawn Corbin. Now, I know maybe this is a little bit of take lock because I really like Jashawn Corbin pre-draft. I thought he could have been a early day 3 selection. I guess maybe the injury history was a little bit more alarming for NFL teams than necessarily I would have thought, but, you know, I don't have access to those medicals. Listen, it's a short depth chart. It's Barkley, who has consistently had an injury history of being injured. You have Matt Breida, who is Matt Breida, and I don't feel the need to expand on that. Right, so I think Jashawn Corbin, you know, you could slot him in here at 10% of the market share. I expect him to make the team. I believe he's the only UDFA who the Giants have actually signed. The other guys are just kind of hanging around trying to make the camp roster. 211 rushing yards, 1 touchdown. But again, this is somebody who, after the preseason, I could be projecting closer to 100 to 120 touches. I think Jashawn Corbin could absolutely be the running back to in this offense, which would solidify his spot as a really, really exciting RB0 prospect here. Went a little bit longer than I expected, went 19 running backs deep. I appreciate folks hanging in here through the episode. Quick reminder before we wrap up here that you can get exclusive content, including access to the full 2023 Rookie Big Board, which will drop later this week. And, of course, the Patreon Discord at patreon.com/theffeducator. Folks, just $3 a month. If you are this far in, if you are listening to an entire episode on rookie running back projections, this is the place you need to be. This is the content you need to consume. Patreon.com/theffeducator. As always, I appreciate you checking out this episode of the Rookie Big Board.